This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
12-string is tough because you're really in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. It sounds interesting because he'll pluck with his thumb, then with his fingers, and then slap the strings quiet with his hand.
Yeah, you go like ding 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 whack ding ding whack ding ding whack.
It's deceptively hard.
Class is in.
This is the Rock School Radio Show, and one of us appears interested in doing a radio show. What do you got? Notes on the note cards over there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
I got
a big final tonight, so I just decided to bring my note cards in here.
School
I
hope year's coming to an end.
Hope it doesn't distract you.
Oh no, it won't distract me. What's on there? What is the actual topic of your final this evening, Chad?
Oh, it's organizational theory.
Oh,
organizational communication theory.
Usable. Usable, yeah, sure. When you're out with your wife tonight at the Sizzler Steakhouse at the all-you-can-eat bar,
we can
bump the guy next to you. Say, you want to discuss organizational theory?
Right. You want to talk sense-making and general systems?
Sure, a guy will say. Right, get out of my way. I need to get to the canned corn over there. Yeah, big sign. Try not to get any on the walls.
You can respect this. I got your class in the summer, so
that's right.
You know, I'm just trying to be a good student.
However, my class, you will be able to discuss it with people at the local Sizzler.
Oh, good.
Here we go. I'm sitting in my office, and I'm trying to figure out a topic for a Rock School show.
What do you mean you're trying to figure out a topic? Well, you got 4 years' worth of topics buried in a chest at sea somewhere.
Davy Jones's locker.
Well, you've got plenty of them. Why are you stumped on a topic?
You remember how I do this. I do them something like 24, 30 topics at a time.
Right.
So I don't have to worry about topics. I just go grab them out of a pile.
Well, then
right?
You should have grabbed one out of a pile.
Well, I was putting them all together, and I was running out of things that interested me.
All right.
On my wall in my office is a $1,500 black lacquer Ovation guitar.
Yeah, I sure have.
It's a better instrument than I ever thought I would own, okay?
Yeah.
My wife is standing behind me, and she's bored with me staring, you know, into space, and she points at it, and she says, why don't you do that? Oh, that's it. That's all it took.
Are you serious?
That's it, of course.
I'm sitting across, probably one of the smartest people I know.
Yeah.
And your wife...
Did somebody come in? Okay.
Your wife solved that problem in 3 seconds.
That's it.
Well,
it's a 12-string instrument.
I know.
The 12-string guitar isn't used all the time, but when it is, it's beautiful. And I have for you here the history of the 12-string, songs that play the 12-string, the first electric 12-string, examples of that. And I think for an hour, we should celebrate this, the 12-string guitar.
Now, for all of the people who are not quite familiar with musical instruments, you explained that a normal, typical guitar has
traditional,
6 strings,
traditional
right?
dreadnought guitar meets the body at the 14th fret, 6 strings, E-A-D-G-B-E. And when we get back, if you'd like, I'll start explaining to you the actual tuning and all that kind of stuff. You need one to start with.
Yeah.
How do I know what a 12-string guitar sounds like? If there's a song that pounds into your brain when you think about 12-string guitar, it's probably this one. 1977, Supertramp, Give a Little Bit. It's a song that just features it beautifully. It sounds like this. Rock School. That's Roger Hodgson there of Supertramp, Give a Little Bit.
I can't fathom the thought of putting my fingers on that many strings.
I gotta tell you, the difference between an electric and an acoustic in terms of finger strength is difficult enough. Number one, your fingers have to have calluses on them to play the guitar at all. But the difference between an electric and acoustic in terms of finger strength is hard enough. You turn it into a 12-string guitar, the neck gets a little bit wider, obviously, to accommodate all the strings. But then you have to have yet even more hand strength to do it. Now, some people say, well, it's not that bad because they're only cording it. But if you do anything past just straight cording, you have to have more hand strength on top of it. And I play the 12-string more than any other acoustic in my collection because it keeps up the hand strength. And a lot of guitarists will tell you, play the acoustic, get your hand strength there, then go get your speed on the electric. Because I just think it's a great instrument to have in your collection. How does it work?
How do you get
12 strings? It isn't 12 strings equally denoted one across the board. It's just not 12 strings. It's six little courses of strings.
What?
When you put strings together next to each other, they're called courses. It came from the concept of a lute or a mandolin. Mandolins are double strings as well.
Right.
So when you put two strings right next to each other, so a single finger touches it, and that single finger frets both of those strings at once, it's called a course.
Isn't there an instrument similar to that called a zither?
Probably.
You know the zither?
I don't know much about it, but probably.
You know what I'm talking about, though?
I guess I don't. I don't know much about it.
Oh,
how about that? Mark that
right
down.
There.
Yeah, put that over there. I'll get on the internet here in a second and just sort of lie and pretend I know about it. So what you have is six courses of two.
Right, because you've got two each.
That's right. So it looks like a regular guitar until you get right up on it, and then, okay, there's 12. The guitar, traditional tuning, E-A-D-G-B-E. The bass string is closest to your chin.
Yes.
That is a bass E, traditional bass E, and then an octave E string on top of it. So then you have an A, which is a traditional A, and then an octave A on top of it. So now you have four strings. Then you have a D string and an octave D on top of it, a G string and an octave E on top of it. Then you got the B and the E strings, which are the highest strings. You couldn't have an octave on top of those. The strings would be so thin that just regular strumming would snap them.
Okay.
They just wouldn't have enough tensile strength to handle it.
So what do they do?
They're just doubled.
And
a lot of people who play leads on a 12-string, you strum it, it sounds like a 12-string, you play leads, what they do is they take the top three strings, the highest tonality strings, the E, the B, and the G, they just take off the doubling course. So when you strum it, it sounds like a 12-string, but you can play leads on top of it.
Well, if you've got the bottom ones doubled, why don't you just take off the bottom two and use it and go with a 10-string?
A lot of people do that.
Really?
Some people have a 10-string. Some people have an 11-string. Some people do a 9-string. Depends on what you like. I love the sound of it all the way around, and I have an electronic tuner on mine. That's one of the reasons it's so expensive. It has a digital tuner on the instrument. I have a little red dot that rolls back and forth, and I can get it so dead on in tune that unless I'm really nasty to it, I can actually play leads and it will just give that nice bell ringtone to it. Yeah, so it's actually kind of neat. One more until we get back to talking about the 12-string guitar. Here's Zebra from right here in New Orleans, Louisiana. Chewed it, Elizabeth! Chewed it! I'm sorry, I'm getting into that show. What is it?
Swamp People.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is
no.
Who's Behind the Door featuring Randy Jackson on his 12-string from 1983. Chewed it, Elizabeth! Chewed it! Rock School. Yeah, nice job. Now, zither, not heard of it. It looks a lot like an auto harp. An auto harp's one of those things you see in high schools where you lie it on your chest, kind of looks like a mountain dulcimer.
Yeah.
You press a button that has a chord name on the top of it, and it dampens every string, if you will, isn't involved in the chord. So when you strum it, only the strings that are involved actually ring.
Kind of shaped like a little mini harp, but you play it in your lap, kind of like a dobro.
Yeah, but it's interesting because it seems to work a couple different ways. It appears, at least the ones we saw online, it has triad strings on one side, so you can pluck the three of them and it'll create a chord, and then it appears to have a chromatic set of strings on one side that you can either strum if you know which ones you're doing or pluck like a harp. Was an interesting little instrument. I've never seen anything like it other than the auto harp.
Oh, well, you saw this online.
Yeah.
How many strings did it have?
45?
45.
45 strings?
45
strings. If you know what you're doing, yeah. I mean, a harp, how many strings does a harp have?
Well, okay.
You know, it goes on. If you know what you're doing, it's written on the wall over there. If you know what you're doing, I mean, you can pluck the right things. So, zither, ladies and gentlemen.
Zither.
Can you play a 12-string the same way you play a regular guitar?
Of course you can.
Yeah, certainly. It plays with pull-offs, it plays with hammer-ons, it plays all the way around, and a lot of people even play it with a slide or a steel.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the thing about a 12-string, what makes it so wonderful is it has the same effect that a mandolin has. Mm-hmm. See, when you pluck a mandolin, it has that bell ring to it. Bong!
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
What gives it that is the fact that it does have courses, multiple strings.
Sure.
And when those two strings ring next to each other, they're slightly off.
Mm-hmm.
They're not exactly octaved. They're not exactly the same note. So there's going to be some harmonic distortion in there,
Sure. Some
harmonic disturbance. They won't be exactly there. So they chorus a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So they bell tone another one. You can even play it, you know, like I just said, with a slide.
Right.
Who does that? Well, how about Nuno Bettencourt of the group Extreme? here's Wholehearted. Rock School. There you go, Noonan Bettencourt of Extreme playing a 12-string guitar.
Why didn't we play More Than Words? That's 12 strings, right?
No, it's not. It's played on a 6-string guitar.
Seriously?
No, the reason it sounds so interesting is because it's played differently than you'd really expect the guitar to be played. It's instead of, and by the way, finger picking on a 12-string, unless you have a really wide neck, is darn difficult because it's crowded to begin with. Because a lot of times, see, I pick with my fingers,
right?
The literal pads of my fingers. A lot of guys who pick and play all the time will allow their fingernails to grow out.
Okay.
And they'll pick with their fingernails.
Andy Griffith picks with his hand.
Right. Or they'll put plastic picks on there.
Sure.
With a 12 string, it's tough because you're really in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. But the guitar part for More Than Words, it's a really interesting way of doing it. It sounds interesting because he'll pluck with his thumb, then with his fingers, and then slap the strings quiet with his hand.
Yeah, you go like ding ding.
It's deceptively hard.
Really?
You'll pick up the guitar and you'll think, well, that's just not difficult. And it's not. The chordal progression is not hard.
You know, don't get me wrong. I don't play guitar,
but
that sounds easy to play.
The chordal progression isn't hard. It's that...
Pluck, pluck, slap.
Right. It's the way you do it, and to get the rhythm to it. It's a much more difficult piece than you think it would be.
Yeah.
And what's nice about it is the video shows exactly how to play it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you could sit there and look at it. Oh, okay. Now I think I got it. The 12-string guitar, since it's something you can just walk in and buy off the street right now, you would think, well, it's always been around. Not so. When we get back from the break, I'm going to talk to you about a group and a song that couldn't be recorded.
Why?
Why? Because the group wanted to have two 12-string guitars. Didn't exist. They had to actually contact Gibson and say, we need another 12-string guitar. Gibson said, okay, we'll get it to you in about 3 weeks. Why? They had to build it.
Oh, wow.
They just didn't have one.
Awesome.
Hello, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana, where 12-string guitars and zithers abound.
That's right. You can't swing a dead cat, and you run right into the darn things. Back in a minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about the 12-string guitar. We've been doing a lot of newer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people credit the folk movement of the 60s with really having the concept of making the 12-string acoustic take hold. And we're going to stay with the acoustic for a little while.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the show, get into the 12-string electrics. But really the movement of the 60s. However, it was before that where the 12-string really started coming into being. And it may be an old blues singer that got the 12-string to really hold some popularity in the United States. But let's talk about the 60s movement. Some people say it was people like Pete Seeger. Got to remember, a 12-string is used not only because it sounds cool, but because 12 strings are louder than 6.
Well, yeah.
So, and these people were using acoustic instruments.
Sure,
and back then, there weren't the miniature pieces. You walked up to a microphone and then a microphone pointing at the guitar,
mm-hmm.
which meant you stayed pretty still.
All right.
Or you got off mic.
You made the guitar louder.
You can't just
turn it up to 11.
Right.
You double the strings.
You got to stay there. And it made it louder.
Uh-huh.
So, a lot of the stuff was from this folk movement, and you'll find in a lot of this folk song stuff from the 60s, you'll find 12-string guitars in it. As I said before, this one group, Eric Darling and Bill Savain, were the people who were in it, and they wanted to have this sound that nobody else had. Had one 12-string guitar. We need another one. Music store. Ain't got it. Called Gibson. We want another one. We'll have it for you in 3 weeks. Why? Got to build it. Nobody wanted one.
They were that scarce?
That's it. Here are the Rooftop Singers. The song's called Walk Right In, Sit Right Down. Sounds like this. Rock School. Rooftop Singers here on Rock School. Had to wait for another one to be built.
We have to build it.
That's right. We'll put that together
Sorry,
for you, young man.
We can't just go back
man.
In the back room and grab one out the box. We got to build the thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, Gibson, even then, didn't want to build them because they saw them as lesser instruments.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to just let the lower-level guitar companies take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Gibson didn't want to do them until they started taking off again in the 1960s. And after this little break that we do at the bottom of the hour to do 7 days and 70 seconds, we're going to talk about one more song from that 60s movement, that 60s kind of folk movement that used 12-string guitars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, four voices, got to have an instrument that keeps up with them. And we'll play that right after we do this. 7 days, 70 seconds, Monday, May 9th through Sunday, May 15th. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
He's got Monday. Go.
Monday, May 9th. In 1966, The Doors auditioned to become the house band at the Whiskey A Go-Go in West Hollywood, California. And by June, they played at the club every single night, even when other acts were booked.
That's right, until they played The End. And then they got kicked out. Tuesday, May 10th, 25 years ago in 1986, Motley Crue drummer, put an umlaut over the U, Tommy Lee marries actress Heather Locklear. They divorce in August 1993.
Oh, Tommy. May 11th, 30 years ago in 1981, reggae star Bob Marley died of cancer in Miami, Florida at the age of 36.
Thursday, May 12th, 1971, 40 years ago, Rolling Stone Mick Jagger and Nicaraguan beauty Bianca Perez Mora wed in Saint-Tropez, France.
How come you didn't do a Nicaraguan accent?
I don't know, but she has that beautiful Saint-Tropez town. There you go. How's that?
May 13th. Oh, my word. It's on a Friday. Bad luck. 70 years ago in 1941, La Bamba singer Ritchie Valens was born in Pacoima, California.
Saturday, May 14th, 35 years ago, Yardbirds lead singer Keith Relf dies at 33 when he's, dig this, electrocuted while playing an improperly grounded electric guitar.
See, you got to ground those guitars.
Yeah, touched a pipe.
Oh, what?
Yeah, touched a pipe, and poof, that's what did it. He was playing barefoot, touched a pipe.
See, that's why I play drums.
That's right.
Safe.
Sunday, May 15th, 30 years ago, former Sex Pistol, John Lydon's band Public Image Limited starts a riot. The Ritz Club in New York City when they stand behind a video screen making strange noises with their instruments and verbally taunting the audience. The angry fans throw beer bottles and try to pull the screen down. Look, brother, it's a punk group anyway. It's a punk audience. Yeah, let's make fun of them.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh.
Another group that used a 12-string a lot, the Mamas and the Papas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, John Phillips. This is the song Creek Alley. It's an autobiographical hit talking about them coming up. The question is always Creek Alley. Why is it called Creek Alley? When the song plays and somebody says, why is this called Creek Alley? Here's the answer, so you can sound intelligent. There's a line in there that says, Duffy's good vibrations and our imaginations can't go on indefinitely. Hugh Duffy is who they're talking about. And he owns a club in the Virgin Islands. Guess what the name of the club is?
Creek Alley.
Ta-da! It sounds like this. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about the 12-string guitar. There's the Mamas and the Papas. Now, I said earlier that a lot of people think it was the 60s folk movement that really helped the 12-string guitar move up and become this dominant instrument.
Right.
Where'd it come from?
Where?
Some people say it was a blues guitarist by the name of Lead Belly.
Oh, I love Lead Belly.
Okay.
I'm a big fan.
Apparently, some people believe he asked Stella, his Stella Box guitar, to have all the strings doubled, attempting to make the guitar sound more like a mandolin. Maybe, maybe not, because it's also said that the 12-string guitar came to America with Mexican mariachi bands. Apparently, there's an instrument called a charango, which had doubled strings.
Mm.
So it's easy to make the jump. Here comes this guitar-looking thing that has doubled strings that could easily become the 12-string guitar.
Yeah.
But you could also see that, okay, well, maybe Lead Belly actually had it, and they based it on the charango, and okay, well, maybe. However, there's a New Orleans connection as well.
Okay.
There's an advertisement I found online on a website that dealt specifically with 12-string guitars. It says somewhere pre-1900, it's not from the 1900s, a luthier in New Orleans named Grunwald is selling what looks like a guitar with 12 strings and called it the harp guitar.
Get out.
So it could very well be that before Lead Belly, before the movement of this charango across, the 12-string guitar was actually invented in New Orleans.
Okay, let's go with that one.
I think so, too.
Yeah, yeah,
because we're from there.
Right.
Playing one from Rod Stewart. There's this little fraternity of songs that actually became hits, but went out on the 45 as the B-side. And this is one of them. Radio station looked at it and went, that's not very good. Let's flip it over. Hey, that's pretty good. This is from the album Every Picture Tells a Story. Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say to you. Here's Maggie May. Rock School.
Wake up, Maggie.
This is Rock School talking about the 12-string guitar. Now, we've done nothing but acoustics
Correct.
Up to this point, right? Let's start talking electrics. Are there electric 12-string guitars?
Well, of course.
Oh, sure. The Birds are seeing use them all the time. What am I thinking of? The Beatles use them all the time. As a matter of fact, I bought a Birds song with me, 8 Miles High. I also brought a Beatles song with me. Which one did I bring with me here? Any time at all. And I brought a George Harrison song with me, My Sweet Lord. I'm not sure we're going to get to those because we're running out of time in here. The Rickenbacker 360 is the one that a lot of people think of immediately when they think of a 12-string guitar.
Yeah.
Remember me telling you also that EAD, GBE, and then how the strings are actually doubled?
Yes.
How they're done on acoustic guitar, the Rickenbacker does it backwards.
Backwards? What do you mean backwards?
Well, instead of having the high string and then the bass string doubled like that, it flips them around.
Huh?
Instead of having the octave of the string and then the traditional bass string, it turns them around, has the bass and then the other one. Huh. Why, I'm not sure. Maybe it helps with the jingly-jangly sound, but I think that actually comes more from the pickup configuration than anything. But it turns it around.
Or it could be that there's no reason at all. They just...
Could be.
Start
Could
with
be.
This one and then do this one.
However, Gibson, which has been mentioned a couple times, believes it has the first 12-string electric guitar.
Oh, don't come in here and start making claims, you guys. You didn't even have one to ship out.
Book.
Oh, you
book right there.
You didn't brought in the reference material?
I do. I have the book right there.
You got a parental advisory sticker on that book.
Isn't that wonderful? This book curses more than I do. When we get back, I'll tell you what Gibson says is the first 12-string electric guitar, and it's iconic. You know it. Hello, KLSU on the campus of Louisiana State University. You run a radio show.
As does WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin. Thanks so much for being part of the Rock School Radio Network.
Friend us on Facebook or we'll cry. Look up Rock School Radio Show. Seriously, do it. And then be our friends. You like us, you really like us. Back in a minute, Rock School. All right, let's talk 12-string electric guitar right here. A lot of people would say the most iconic 12-string electric is the Rickenbacker 360, played by the Beatles, played by the Byrds, R.E.M.
Okay? But the folks at Gibson would say otherwise.
They say it's the Gibson EDS-1275.
Well, of course,
now,
they're going to be pro.
That means nothing to you.
They're going to be biased to their own product.
Right there it is on the front cover. It's the cherry red double neck guitar that is played by Jimmy Page by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All the time.
I was looking at the scantily clad animated woman right next, directly
underneath.
She
animated?
Him.
Oh, you have to shake the book. Okay. Oh, there we go. Now, this is the one that's cherry red that he's seen with all the time. It's a 12 string on one neck, it's a 6 string on the other neck. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, believe me, you've seen him with it. It's iconic to him.
Yep.
Look it up if you haven't seen it. EDS-1275. EDS-1275. It's a double neck guitar. Came out in 1958, the same year that the Explorer and the Flying V came out. And what's interesting about it is it's got a switch that'll let you go between the 6 string and the 12 string.
Uh-huh.
But if you leave that switch in the middle, both of them are on at the same time.
Well, of course.
So one will just ring while the other one plays. Now, you have to actually have this custom made. You just can't walk into a thing, you know, a room and buy one unless it's used.
Mm-hmm.
You want a brand new one, you can go ahead and get it, but you have to buy it. Mm-hmm. And you only have two choices. You can get it in white, and you can get it in cherry. And that's the whole thing.
What if I want it in yellow?
Can't get it.
Why not?
Well, you have to buy it in white or cherry. You could take it to a luthier and have him paint it yellow for you if you want, but Gibson only puts it out in white, and or what they call cream, and cherry.
Hmm.
That's it.
Well.
He played it. He, Jimmy Page, played it so much that you would think he recorded with it constantly. And so many people think that he recorded Stairway to Heaven on it because that's all you ever see him playing when you think of Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Wrong. He only recorded one time with it, and the song was called Carol Salambra from In Through the Outdoor.
Huh.
That's it. So what I did is I jumped online and I put in to YouTube, EDS-1275, Jimmy Page, and up came Stairway to Heaven, Stairway to Heaven, Stairway to Heaven, Stairway to Heaven. Finally, boop, the song remains the same. Oh, good. Something that's not Stairway to Heaven. Here you go. Song remains the same. Rock School. All right, last break on Rock School.
You know you're going to catch it on Facebook and say, why didn't you play Stairway to Heaven?
No, it's too long.
I know, it's long.
And it's iconic.
It's not like we don't have editing software.
You know what I got?
Taking care of it.
You know what I found?
What?
I found online a thread of, I guess it's people who work or own guitar shops, music shops.
Uh-huh.
Songs I wish people would stop playing while testing guitars in my shop. And I don't quite know if I have the guts to put a show together on it, because what I was thinking about doing was actually coming in with my guitar and playing each one of them.
That's
Wouldn't
awesome.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Most overused riffs.
Yeah, and one of them's, of course, Stairway to Heaven.
And Smoke on the Water.
I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
I didn't look at them all, but I'm thinking, if I sat down and some guy laid a guitar into my hands, what would I play?
That's funny.
I just wonder what my fingers would do.
Because really, if you think about it, it kind of holds true. If you're working at a radio station and you hear a song that's in heavy rotation, you know, after 3 months, you're like, oh gosh. But those guys,
right.
They can't change.
Right, and there's that scene in Wayne's World.
Uh-huh.
There's a sign on the wall, no stairway.
Yeah.
And I gotta believe it has to drive them up a tree. And the people who come in, you know, oh, another one was LaGrange by ZZ Top. Yeah. I just know it drives them nuts.
Awesome.
Okay, few more facts about this here. The EDS-1275, we'll get out of here because I'm going to finish up with Rush, Closer to the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why?
Because Page, even though it's iconic that he plays the guitar, Don Felder of the Eagles also plays one. Davy Johnstone, the guitarist for, can you do it?
Davy Johnstone?
Elton John also plays one. And of course, Alex Lifeson of Rush, he plays a cream white one.
Oh.
The EDS 1275 weighs, dig this, 13 pounds.
13 pounds.
13 pounds. And it is the coolest guitar in the world.
Says who?
Says GigWise.com, who in 2008, through reader poll and other guitarists, chose the 30 coolest guitarists in the world. And here they all are. And guess what sits at number one?
Wow, who?
The EDS 1275 double neck. And here drops the book. There we go. So we're going to wrap it up, and that's what we think about 12-string guitars, and boy, are they cool. Mine is really expensive. We finish with Rush, and in concert now, Alex Lifeson plays an acoustic because he has it sitting on a carrier, and he can then step away and grab the electric, but it used to be that he would play the beginning finger-picked piece or picked with a metal plectrum piece on the 12-string, and then would jump down to the 6-string and finish playing the entire piece on the 1275, but doesn't do it anymore that way, but still plays the double-necked Gibson 12-string guitar. And that wraps up our 12-string guitar show.
I had a good time on that. Yeah, I'm Chad
P. A little
bit
of knowledge, and that wraps it up. Class is dismissed.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart.